So it's just good to be here with you guys, and looking forward to what God has to speak to us. If you grab your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 10, Romans 10 verse 17 is what we're going to look at this morning. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand. We always have them available. We'll get you one. When you've got it, Romans 10, 17. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So short, I'll read it again. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Father, give us ears to hear what Your Spirit would want to speak to each one of us this morning. May we hear You. In Jesus' name, amen. There was a college professor a number of years ago who began the semester by simply writing 6 words on a chalkboard. And she asked her class then to punctuate the 6 words to make a sentence out of them. The 6 words were these: woman, without her, man is nothing. And what she found was quite interesting. The men, the guys in the class, they took those 6 words and they punctuated those 6 words like this: woman, comma, without her, man, comma, is nothing, period. The women, they punctuated it a little differently. They said, woman, exclamation point, without her, comma, man is nothing. Punctuation makes all the difference in the world. Changes those 6 words, changes the definition of those 6 words drastically. Changes the definition. Our verse today, this verse in our text, for me, I think, needed to be punctuated differently. For years, I've always thought that this verse referred to, when it says God's word, faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God, I always assumed what it meant was the Scripture. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about our Bible. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Scripture. And there is some merit to that. But what I found as I studied this through this past week was maybe I needed to have this verse repunctuated. And when I looked at it and repunctuated it, it had a whole different meaning to me. Before I go into the different punctuation of this verse, I want to make something very clear. I don't want anyone to misinterpret what I'm going to share. I want to make this one point very clear. God's word, the Scripture right here, is important to us as Christians. It's inerrant. It's foundational for what we do, for what we believe, for what we are. God's word is supreme. Period. The best definition of what God's word is used for is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Let me read that for you. It says this: it says, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or literally, in the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, God breathed. All Scripture. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what God's word's for. It's God breathes. It's inerrant. It's perfect. It's used for doctrine, for instruction. It's used to change me, to reprove me, to make me into what God wants me to be, that I might be thoroughly furnished. God's word is supreme. It's what I base my family on. It's what we base Edgewater Christian Fellowship on. It's what I base my philosophy on. It's what I base my life on. So, God's Word is supreme. But I'm convinced verse 17 has a little different meaning. It's not faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Scriptures of God. I don't believe it's from the written Word. I believe what it's talking about here is the spoken Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing from the spoken Word. Literally there it should be of Christ, the Anointed One, the Christos. Faith comes essentially by hearing from Jesus Christ. That's where faith comes from. I believe that's the basis of it. Wait a second, Matt. I've been in church a long time. I've heard a lot of pastors use this same verse to talk about God's Word when they're preaching. Why do you think that? Why do you think it's the spoken Word, not the written Word, the Scriptures? Why do you think it's the spoken Word? Let me give you three quick reasons. Number one, the word that's chosen in the Greek language to be translated word in verse 17. There are essentially three Greek words that can be translated into the word word. There's logos, the word. Often refers to Jesus Christ. Sometimes the logos can refer to Scripture. There's another one, grapheia in the Greek. It almost always refers to Scripture. Grapheia, the writing, graphics, you know. Grapheia, in fact, in verse 11 of Romans chapter 10, it says there, for the Scripture says, that word Scripture there is grapheia. Grapheia always refers to the Scriptures, the written out Word of God. But there's a third word in the Greek language that can be translated word. It's rhema, R-H-E-M-A. Rhema is always the uttered or spoken word. It's a spoken word. It's a rhema. If you were to talk to somebody, share with somebody, when you are speaking, that is a rhema word. It always refers to an uttered word. Rhema, not one time in the Bible, is translated as Scripture. It's always a spoken word. So that's the first reason. The second reason is the context of chapter 10. We're going to study it through on Wednesday. But what we'll see in chapter 10, it's all about speaking. Look at verse 8. The word is nigh unto thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach or which we herald, which we speak. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth. Verse 14, the word that we preach, how are they going to hear without a preacher? Verse 15, preaching good tidings. Verse 18, the sound of these words went out into all the earth. The entire chapter is about preaching, speaking. First, the word rhema. Second, the context of the chapter is all about talking, the spoken word. And thirdly, the audience that this passage is addressed to. If you've been with us on Wednesday night, you know this section of the book of Romans is to the nation of Israel. Chapters 9, 10, and 11 are all about Israel. Talking about Israel, God's plan to Israel, God's faithfulness to the nation of Israel. Now, the people in Israel had a love for the Scripture. They loved God's Word. In fact, there's a certain group of them, they're called the Pharisees. They were so stoked on Scripture that part of their deal was to memorize the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Those are big, long books. Read it sometime. Read those books. See how long that is, just as long as you don't read them this morning. Read them. Imagine memorizing those five books, putting those to memory. That would either, number one, take a ton of work, or number two, you'd have to have a photographic memory. That's the only way to memorize them. Did you know that science actually says that every single person has a photographic memory? We all do. But science also says this, most of us do not have film. That's the problem. These guys love Scripture. They absolutely love Scriptures. They immerse themselves in the Scripture. Jesus would say to them in John chapter 5, you have searched the Scripture. But here's the problem. Jesus would say, you missed me. Paul would say this about this same group of people. All their scripture, all their reading, all their studying, it never produced faith. Look at chapter, you don't have to look there, I'll read it for you. It's chapter 9, verse 31 and 32. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, memorizing the book, studying the book, into the book, into scripture, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why, verse 32? Because they sought it not by faith. All the scripture, all the study, it never produced faith in this group of people. I know scholars personally. I had a scholar named Marcus Borg, who was one of my professors in college. He's part of the Jesus Seminar. He's a guy that, he's a heretic is what he is. He knew scripture. If you wanted to hear a guy rattle off the entire Sermon on the Mount, the guy memorized the Sermon on the Mount, he could rattle it right off. Old Testament passages, New Testament passages, he studied scripture. But you know what? He did not have faith in Jesus Christ. I don't believe this is referring to the scriptures. I believe it refers to not the word that we read, but the word that we hear. All right. Let's say it does. Then what does that mean for me? Well, this is what I'm convinced. You guys here, you got up early. You came here. You came to service because I'm convinced all of us want to hear from God. That's what we want to hear. We want to hear from God. We want our faith built up. We want to hear from God. I think all of us are like that Air Canada pilot. Did you hear about him on Tuesday? Anybody hear about him? I'm glad you didn't, because I brought the article. On Tuesday, this took place. The title of this article is this. This is your pilot speaking and crying and swearing and demanding to talk to God. The co-pilot of a packed Heathrow-bound plane had to be dragged screaming from his cockpit after he apparently suffered a mental breakdown in midair. Horrified passengers on the flight from Canada saw the man being pinned down by fellow crew members as he yelled loudly and demanded to, quote, speak to God. I want to talk to God. Sean Finnegan, they interview him, he says this. He told the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation he was very, very distraught. He was yelling loudly. His voice was clear so he didn't sound drunk or anything. He was swearing and asking for God and very distressed. He basically said, he wanted to talk to God. I can understand that. He was probably wanting to complain about the food. My guess. I just say to these people that are on this flight, be thankful that your pilot didn't go try to see God, you know. I just want to talk to him. But then it says this. This is what cracked me up. He said later, as the co-pilot was being escorted off the plane by airport police, members of the Irish Garda, and two paramedics. Now, this is the pilot, the guy that's flying the plane. He says this. He had his eyes closed and was mumbling to no one in particular. This is a guy that wants to talk to God. So he's mumbling this as he goes off the plane. And I quote, it's okay. You can text me. You can email me. It's okay, God. You can text me. I don't care how it is. Email me, whatever, you know. I think most of us want to hear from God. Maybe we're not as bad as this pilot. But the majority of us, we want to hear from God. God, how are you going to speak to me? You know, you can text me if you want to. You can email me. I saw that in a movie. Do it. Most of us want to hear from God. Why? Because it will build your faith. It's going to build your faith. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing by, really, it should be interpreted. If you look at a Weiss New Testament, it's translated by hearing the spoken word of Jesus Christ. That's where faith comes from. And on Wednesday, we'll look at the context of this chapter, which is salvation for the nation of Israel. That's the whole context there. But I believe there's a personal application for each one of us. If you want your faith to be built up, you need to hear from Jesus Christ. You want your faith built up? It comes by hearing from Jesus Christ. Great. How does that happen? He's going to text me. He's going to email me. How does that happen, Matt? How does God speak to you? How does God speak? How does Jesus speak? Let me give you five, and I'm not going to be that long, I hope. Let me give you five things that have assisted me in hearing from Jesus, ways that have built my faith. Number one, if you want to hear from Jesus, if you want your faith built up, number one, it takes concentration. It takes concentration. Have you ever got up in the morning and said, man, I'm going to read my Bible this morning. I'm going to read through 10 chapters. And you sit down and you've got this great passion to read God's word and you read through a couple of pages and then you kind of wake up and you think, my goodness, I just read 5 chapters and I don't remember a single word I just read. There is no film in the camera right now. I read it, but I don't remember a word of it. My mind was way off somewhere else. I was looking at the words, but it didn't register anywhere. It didn't go anywhere. Because to hear, you have to be listening. Guys, you know this. You get home from a long day of work. You plop down on the couch. And your wife, she wants to share with you her day. She starts talking to you. And she's talking, you can hear the sound, but man, there is no one home. The words, they just go in and they go right out. Why? Because if you're like me, my mind is full of stuff. The pressure of the day. The intensity of the moment. The circumstances that are going on right then. That's why, you know. I don't hear her, she's talking, but there's other things that are more important. There's other things that crowd it out. She's talking, but I don't hear the circumstances, the intensity of the moment. If I'm honest, it's third and goal for the Beavers, you know. You have to be listening to hear. You can test your husbands today at your Super Bowl party. In an intense moment in the Super Bowl, go up to him and say, hey, sweetie, honey, I want to go to the mall and spend hundreds of dollars on clothes that I won't like in a week. Is that okay? And listen to what he'll say. Sure, go ahead. Don't take advantage of this information. To hear, you have to be listening. It takes concentration. And for a long time, my devotional life was read 5 chapters and not remember anything. Well, I don't know, you know, was that good? I don't know. I didn't really hear from God today. I don't know if I want to keep doing that. Well, 5 years ago, I changed that. I decided, you know what? I'm going to begin to, what the Bible calls, meditate on the Scripture. Let's meditate. The meditation, the word for meditation in the Hebrew, it connotates a cow chewing the cud. You know, cows, they go out and eat some grass and they sit down. They have 4 stomachs. So their first stomach holds it. They burp it back up, barf it back up, whatever. They re-chew it and they swallow it. They do that 4 times. Be thankful God did not make you a cow. We have a better digestive system. That's what meditation is. It's you chew on it for a while. And then a little while later, you regurgitate it and you chew on it a little bit more. It's not, I got to get through 5 chapters. I got to get through 10 chapters, you know, so I can read through the Bible in a year, as good as that may be. Rather, it's, I got to allow God's word to get through to me. I'm going to slow down. I'm going to concentrate on this one verse. And so I did that in the book of Luke. It took me 18 months to get through the book of Luke. 1 or 2 verses at a time in the morning. 3 or 4 verses. And I was writing down notes. And I tell you what, to this day, I'll go back and look at my notes I took on the book of Luke during that time. And I say, wow, that is good stuff. That's powerful. That stuff would preach. Because I'm great? No. Because I heard from Jesus during that time. And my faith was so built up. Jesus wanted to talk to me. Because I slowed down and concentrated. To hear, you've got to be listening. The biggest key, try it at some time. Stop trying to get through the word or get through some prescribed thing. Slow down. Grab a gospel. Take a couple verses, 5 verses, whatever, and meditate on them for a half an hour. And watch and see what will be spoken to you by Jesus Christ. And watch and see your faith grow. God just spoke to me. Jesus just instructed me. That's incredible. I'm going to write that down. Number one, you got to have concentration. Number two, you got to have a conversation. I can sum this one up in one sentence. If you don't talk to your Bible won't talk to you. You're saying, Matt, have you been eating things you found in the woods again? I wish I could say I came up with that. But it's a guy by the name of Warren Wiersbe. I was reading one of his books on how to get the most out of the Bible. And he began to explain, if you don't talk to your Bible, it will not talk to you. He said, you've got to look at your Bible as though it's alive. Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says it is. It's not just a book. Have a conversation with it. Question it. Pray over it. Talk to your Bible. And so I tried that. If you came into my study sometimes, you would say, call the men in white suits. Because I'm talking and sharing, and God begins to I have a conversation with my Bible. And it's amazing what takes place when I'll take that time and talk and think and question and ask and pray and talk and talk and conversate. I hear from Jesus Christ, and my faith is built. You've got to have concentration. You've got to have a conversation. Thirdly, creation. Creation. Look at verse 18, the next verse. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily. Their sound, whose sound? The sound of God's word, the sound of Christ's words, went out into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. This is a quotation from Psalm 19. Let me read Psalm 19 for you so you can know what's being talked about. Psalm 19 says this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night shows knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. It's talking about, it's referring to God speaking to people through creation. The heavens declare. The heavens declare God's word, the words of Jesus Christ. This is where I agree with hippies, you know? Hippies say, you know, I just hear from God out in creation. I agree. Me too. I just don't need the enhancers, you know. I'm natural. There is something about creation where I believe you can hear from God. I find it all the time. If I really need to hear from God, I leave my cell phone, I turn off my computer, I leave my kids, which sometimes is the best blessing, and then I go for a walk. I get where I can concentrate, where I can conversate, and quite often it takes place in creation. I see the majesty. I see the trees. I see the order. And I hear from God. There's one commentator that was looking at Psalm 19 and he said this. He said, after thinking about the heavens declaring and their sound going out, he said this. You know what? Smog blocks that view. And he went on to say, and I don't know if he's right, he said, smog is probably satanic. I don't know if I'd go that far, but it's very interesting to me. It blocks this ability for us to see the stars and for the stars to declare the words of Jesus Christ. The heavens declare. You really want to hear from God? You want to hear from Jesus Christ? You need your faith built up? Go have a concentrated conversation in creation with him. And watch and see what he'll speak to you. Because the heavens do declare the glory of God. And your faith will be built up. Concentration, conversation, creation. Fourthly, the congregation. The congregation, us right here, the body of Jesus Christ. The Bible puts a real premium upon his people getting together. In the Old Testament, they were commanded to get together, a prescribed amount of time. Get together, come together, be together. In the New Testament, it may not be commanded, but is very much recommended. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even more as you see the day approaching. We're supposed to get together. It doesn't have to be big groups like this. It can be little groups. Jesus would say this. Where two or three are gathered, I'm in their midst. There is a special anointing and presence of Jesus Christ when his people are gathered together. There's a special way that you can hear from Jesus through the congregation, through the body of Jesus Christ. We're his mouth now. I've heard from Jesus so many times from having lunch with a brother, talking with a couple people at Lake Bradley. I hear from Jesus, from you guys. And I could share many, many times, but let me share one time that was real impacting on my life. I had shared 2 years ago, almost to the day, a story about Arthur Stace. saying, who's that? 2 years ago, Matt, there's no film in this camera. You're going to have to fill me in. Arthur Stace, I shared his biography. He was this man that was born at the turn of the century in Australia. Went and fought in World War I. And because of that, whatever happened there, he just checked out of life. Said, forget it. Started drinking, lived on the streets of Sydney, Australia. But at around 30 years of age, he stumbled into this Baptist church. Gave his life over to Jesus Christ. And a couple months after that, 6 months to be exact, he came into another church where the pastor of that church was called the Reverend John Give'em Hell Wrigley. It's quite a name. I think that kind of go good with my name. The Reverend Matt Give'em Hell Heverly. I like it. He stumbled into this church and this pastor John Wrigley was preaching, or I should say screaming at that point. And he said, if I could just scream the word eternity from the housetops of Australia, from the housetops of Sydney. If I could just scream the word eternity, if every person in Sydney could hear the word eternity. Well, Arthur Stace, who had just slipped in the back, he heard that and it stuck in his mind and he walked out of that church that night and he could not get out of his mind the word eternity, 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 eternity. And so he took out a little piece of yellow chalk. He could barely write his own name. And he got down the sidewalk there and he scrawled out in these very kind of shaky letters the word eternity in yellow chalk. And from that day forward, every morning he'd get up at about 4 in the morning. He would walk the streets of Sydney writing eternity on sidewalks, on subways, on walls, on buildings. Year after year he did this. Pretty soon the city began to say, who is this person? It was in the newspapers. It was all over, pretty soon it spread from that city all over the country. Who's writing eternity everywhere in Australia? And they didn't figure it out until about 2 years before Arthur Stace died. As an old man, almost 67 years old, he was up at 4 writing eternity one morning when his pastor noticed him. Are you the one? Yes, it's me. He died 2 years later. But that wasn't the end of the story. When Sydney Square was made, the main attraction there in 1977 of that city in Australia. In the very center of it are these copper letters that spell out, guess what? The word eternity. So every person that comes and visits that square has to look at the word eternity and think it through. But that's not the end of the story. When Australia and the city of Sydney hosted the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, 1 billion people tuned in for the opening ceremonies, and guess what they did over the bay there? They shot up these yellow firecrackers, fireworks, that spelled out in the sky, guess what? The word eternity. 1 billion people had to look at the word eternity and think about themselves, what am I going to do with eternity? But that's not the end of the story. In the year 2000, Y2K, as the date changed, and really Australia was the first major country where it's going to hit that spoke English. And so the world tuned in. What's going to happen to Australia? Are the lights going to go out? Is, the end of the world going to happen? What's going to happen in Australia? And so there's a bay bridge, a big giant bridge. And just at Y2K, they flipped this switch. And it lit up that entire bridge with these giant yellow letters that spelt out the word eternity. And I don't think the story's over yet. That's amazing that one person with one word could do so much. And so I shared that story about eternity. Well, that week, I happened to have a pastor's meeting that Thursday morning. I had my cell phone on because at this time, 2 years ago, my mom was dying from terminal cancer. So I was trying to make sure, something was needed that I'd be ready. Well, I got a call from a good friend who had flown out from North Carolina. She's a nurse and she was taking care of my mom. And she called and at about 6:30 in the morning, and said, now's the time. Get over here. And so I got in my car at 6:30 and I started up and I started driving down 6th Street from the office. And just the emotions of that were tough. I remember driving my car and I just, for the first time, I just broke down. This is it. This is the end. Lord, why couldn't you have done a miracle? Why couldn't she have lived longer? Why is time so short? Why? And As I drove down 6th Street, I came up to Jeff McConnell's office. It's right on 6th Street, maybe a couple blocks from our office. And he has this billboard out in front of his office. And guess what word was on that billboard? Eternity. And I can't explain to you the peace that came into my heart the moment I looked at that word. I can't explain to you the presence I felt of Jesus Christ in my car, comforting me because of one word spoken by another brother. How my faith was built up by one person with one word. God can speak through his congregation. God can speak through you to me, me to you. That's how God speaks. It's the spoken word quite often. That's how your faith is built up. When you concentrate, when you conversate through creation, through the congregation, through brothers, be linked with the body. You want to hear from Jesus Christ? Be linked with his body. Be in Bible studies. Be around people that love Jesus. Be around them. And when you most need it, when your faith is faltering, that's when they're able to speak a word that solidifies your faith. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing from Jesus Christ. You hear from him through his creation. And finally, lastly, and we'll be done. For the sake of time, you don't have to turn to the scripture. It's found in Genesis chapter 18. The final thing is, you got to communicate. Communication. The Lord shows up to Abraham in Genesis 18. Tells Abraham you're going to have a son. Abraham's stoked. The Lord is going to leave. And in verse 17, the Lord stops. It's a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ. He stops and says, I'm going to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. He's talking to his angels. I'm going to destroy the city there. Should I tell Abraham about this? Should I let him know this? It's a good thing he does, because Abraham ends up getting Lot, his nephew, out of there, and his two daughters. Should I tell Abraham this? A rhetorical question. And Jesus answers his own question. He says, yes, I will. Because Abraham is a man that will command his kids and tell his household of the things that I've told him. I'm going to tell Abraham this. I'm going to speak to Abraham what I'm going to do. I'm going to give him this revelation because he's a man that's going to share it with other people. I'm convinced as Christians, we are not to be containers of God's word. We're to be conduits of God's word. God's to speak to us, and we're to speak to other people, sharing what God has shared with us. Giving them the good news that God's given us. You want to be one that hears from Jesus? Share with other people. Communicate what he's sharing with you. Be a conduit. Tell others. Encourage other people. I'm going to tell Abraham this because he's going to share it with other people. I'm going to tell Matt this. I'm going to tell John this. I'm going to tell Jeremiah this. I'm going to tell Lowell this because he's going to share it with other people. He's not going to be a container. He's going to be a conduit. I get the privilege of sharing all the time. It's wonderful. There's nothing like sharing the right thing for somebody when they need it. A word that God's spoken to you, being able to share it with somebody else. It's incredible. It builds your faith like nothing else. You want faith? You want to have big faith? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the words of Jesus Christ. Concentrate when you read God's word. Don't try to just get through it. Allow it to get through to you. Have a conversation with it. It doesn't matter, you know, what people think of you. Talk to your Bible. Get out in creation. Look at the majesty that's all around us. Be connected with God's congregation, and then share with other people what God has shown you. And watch and see what you hear from Jesus Christ in this coming season. I want you guys to be full of faith. I want you guys to hear from Jesus Christ. I want you guys to know that he is a living God that lives inside of you and desires to speak to each one of you. There's no secret you got to know. There's no password to get through the door. He wants to talk to you. If we'll take the time. If we'll tune in and listen. Amen? Father, I thank you that you're not a distant God. That the word is nigh unto us. They're not esoteric or difficult to know, but you want to speak to us and build our faith and travel with us on life's journey. I pray for each person in here. I pray that they would have ears to hear what you would want to speak to them. May our ears not be clogged up, as can happen, with the difficulties or the circumstances or whatever's going on around us. But may we be able to take time and really concentrate on what you would want to speak to us. May you declare to us your glory as we see creation all around us. May we hear from you through our brothers and sisters in the faith. May we share what you've shown us with other people, Lord. May we be conduits of your word. And build our faith then. Because faith comes from hearing, and hearing comes from you. May we hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys.